Welcome, Tool Time, God Edition. Happy Father's Day. Okay, you're alive, you're with me, right? Well, it's Father's Day. It's a great opportunity to talk about tools. But as you saw in that clip, the thing you need to learn about tools is how to use them properly. Because when you don't use them properly, problems happen, right? It's Father's Day. Like I said a few minutes ago, I know Father's Day is not easy for everyone. For some of you, you're reminded today that you have a child who's no longer in this world with you. You're waiting in eternity for them, or they're waiting for you. And so Father's Day comes to you with a heavy heart. Heavy heart. Some of you, Father's Day is difficult because your children might be here, but you might be in a broken relationship with them. You don't really see them much. You hardly ever talk to them. Your heart's breaking because today when other dads might get a phone call, you know you won't. And your heart is breaking. Some of you, Father's Day is tough because you don't understand what the big fuss is about Father's Day. Because you didn't have one. Or the one you had wasn't worth celebrating. And so Father's Day is hard. Hard. Some of you, Father's Day is tough because your dad's gone to glory. On a day like this, you want to pick up the phone, but you realize that kind of phone doesn't work. So Father's Day could be a heavy day, a hard day for some of you. And I realize that. So I'm asking you for the next few minutes to just put that aside because we're not going to really talk about dads, but I want to talk to men, not just dads. But even though I'm talking to men, I know that the principles that we're talking about are biblical, godly principles that really will apply to all of us. So ladies, when you hear me say men or man, I want you in your brain to hear woman. Is that okay? I know you could do that. I know you can. Reminds me of a story. A school teacher was talking to her class one day because Father's Day was ahead on the calendar. And so she said to her class, could somebody tell me what Father's Day is really all about and what it means to you? And a little boy jumped up from his seat. He said, Miss, I know. Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend as much money. I don't know if that's true or not, but you know, I want to draw your attention to an obscure passage of scripture. And if you have the Bible app, you can turn our YouVersion on, our event, and you'll find us there. But there's an obscure little book called Titus. So a letter that Paul wrote to Titus, hence it's called Titus. And in that he put these two verses. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live, ready for this, men, self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Tools can be important to a man, can't they? I mean, I don't know about all men, but we'll go with the majority of men. Men love to collect tools. Do you collect tools? I collect tools. My wife doesn't understand why I collect tools because I don't use them. But I collect tools. Like, I think tools are fun to have. You know, but not all of us are master craftsmen like some of us. There's a few in here who are great with their tools and I can't do that, right? But there's a few essential tools that God is giving us to be godly men in this world. And he wants us to put these in like our godly toolbox. Say, this makes you a godly man. And now this morning, I can't go through all the tools that God has. So I've tried to pick out the ones that are primary and most important to us. Okay? So the first one is a square. Now, if you're like my kids, they would say, Dad, that's not a square. It's an L. Right? But it's a square. It's a square because builders will use this in order to correctly build things on a 90-degree angle, which means square. Now, I don't have a lot of use for this because I don't really build anything that needs this. But it's important. Sometimes we want to build, I guess, a wall, and you want to make sure your wall is straight. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that the walls in my house aren't always straight. And that's probably because Lauren didn't build them. But, you know, if Lauren built them, I know they'd be square. So that's a square. And the square speaks to us. You know, the square represents our relationship with God. See, before we can do anything in this world, we need to have a relationship with God that's square, that's straight. That when we could build upon it, things will be built straight and square. Men, the most important relationship you have in your life is with God. But pastor, I'm married. Yeah. The most important relationship you have in your life is God. But pastor, I've got 14 kids. I got to take care of them. Yep. The most important relationship you have in your life is with God. See, because if you can keep your relationship with God square, you can keep everything in your life square. See, when you have a right relationship with God, you should have a right relationship with your spouse. When you have a right relationship with God, it should translate into a relationship with your children. Now, I know relationships are tricky because it takes two people. It takes two. So man, if you're square with God, and ladies, if you're square with God, then your marriage should be square with God. See, because when you build on the square, everything you build upon it is square. That's why it's key. So your relationship with God is key. See, because if you get out of line, you know, when you get out of line in the bottom, it's not a big deal. When something small is out of line, it's no big deal. But as you continue to grow on that wrong line, at the top of it, it's widely out of place. And that's why your relationship has to be square. You have to be square with God. Because if you don't stay square with God, things in your life will eventually get way out of line. And one day you'll look back and say, how did I get here? You got here because you didn't keep it square. Jesus had something to say about this. And in the Gospel of Mark, we're recorded these words. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. This is the first commandment. In other words, this is the one on which you build everything else. It's first. It's the foundation. And from that foundation of God, you're going to build square. There's another important tool that most people have in their toolbox. No, not many people have a square. I know that. But a tape measure. Everybody's got a tape measure. Sometimes you might even have one of those paper ones that you use as a seamstress. But man, I mean, what man doesn't have a measuring tape? Don't put your hands up. But you know what goes with a measuring tape? There's a good old adage. Measure twice, cut once. I heard that, right? Was that Mike? Right? How many have learned that the hard way? I have. I was building door frames in a previous home in the basement and finishing it. And when I took it and cut it and put it on the wall, it was about that short. How did that happen? Measure twice, cut once. It saves aggravation. It saves time. It saves money because you're not wasting a piece. If you cut a piece too long, you could always cut a little bit off. But when you cut it too short, it's done. And it was door frame. It's like, I don't even have any more. You know, it's like, oh no. Tape measure. It reminds us that we need to continually measure our life. What are you going to measure? I'm so glad you asked. You're going to measure your priorities. You're going to say, where are my priorities in line with God's priorities? See, when you stop to ask God what the priorities of your life are going to be, you're going to be surprised. See, God doesn't care the square footage of your house. God doesn't even care what model sits in your driveway. God doesn't even care if you have a driveway. We care. But we got to measure according to God's priorities for our life. Are we going to go after the things that God tells us we should go after? Or are we going to go after the things that we think we should go after? It's our priorities. Another thing you need to measure is your time. What are you doing with your time? I'm not saying you, a third of the day you need to sleep? Something like that. If you're a teenager, it's 60% of the time that you sleep. It's amazing how many of them can sleep in high school with their eyes open. But you gotta measure your time. What are you doing with your time? With the time that you have after you get home from work or school, what are you doing with that time? Are you investing that time into godly things? Are you investing that time into your relationships, into your marriage, into your children, into your friends? What are you doing with your time? Are you wasting your life away? Or are you using your time wisely? You need to measure your life. How does my life look? Am I living in a proper balance in my life? Am I properly balanced in my life so that in everything I do, I'm giving glory and honor to God? Because you deserve the glory. It's not just in church. It's not Sunday morning for 90 minutes. It's not just, I also go to small groups, so chalk on another 90 minutes. It's 24/7. 24/7. Am I measuring up to what God has called me to be and do? Ephesians says this, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And if you're not careful and if you're not measuring your life, the evil will overwhelm us and take us down. There's another tool that we have either in a toolbox or on your shelf, a level. A level is used to determine that a surface is straight. It's a surface straight. You say, well, Pastor, I don't build houses and I don't have to build walls or furniture. Ever hang a shelf in your house? Ever try to hang a shelf and then you put something on it and it goes tumbling off? It's because you didn't use a level. And you use a level and you get the bubble in the middle and you screw it into the wall nice and straight. Because that's what it does. It helps you determine things that are straight. It tells us that we are called to live lives that are level with the character of God. What is your life supposed to look like? It's supposed to look like God. That's a tall order, Pastor. I didn't write the rules. I found them in the book. Just sharing it with you. But our lives are supposed to be level with the character of God. And when we get out of kilter, God could say to us, take a look at your level, because that looks like a slope. And you need to measure your time and get your square out and start to level your life off. Living level means we live our lives in submission to God. Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm the man of the house. What I say goes. You live alone, do you? You submit to God first. Oh, that's a tough one, Pastor. Now you're stepping on my toes. I didn't write the rules. I'm just telling you how they work. Isaiah 26, the prophet said this, the path of the righteous is level. The upright one, you, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. You're to measure your life according to God's character. And you're to allow your life to be leveled by God's character and be straight and smooth. There's another tool It's a handy tool. A lot of people have this tool. It's a plier. Many, many different uses for a plier. But what it really, really does is it holds on tight. It holds on tight. Doesn't it? When you got to work with something that might be hot, you grab it with your plier. When you can't reach it, there's needle nose pliers. They're sitting right over there. And, you know, you reach something little or that you got to reach in to grab hold of. Your pliers hold tight. Teaches us that we need to hold on to God no matter what. No matter what, men. If you want to be a godly man, you've got to learn that the thing that you have to hold on to beyond all things is God. When the storms of life come, what are you holding on to? When the storms of life hit you and they blow you all over the place and you don't think you have anything left to hold on to, you have to grab your plier and hold on to God. You need to hold on to God's promises. Because God said, not me, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And many times when troubles come our way, the first thing we go is, God, where are you? Come on. I don't know if this is worth it. I don't know if serving God is worth it. I don't know if I could do all this Jesus stuff. I'm not sure if it's worth it. You ever think that? Say that? Come on, we all have. It's at those moments where we've got to grab our godly pliers. Men, you want to lead your family? Hold on to God. Men, you want to be godly men? When things are tough, you need to hold on to God. It might be all you can do to hold on, grab both hands, grab that thing. There you go. Your grip could be tighter than a vice grip. If you hold on to God. You're called, men, to lead your homes. Not to lead in an ungodly way, to lead in a godly way, in a loving way. But you're called to lead your homes, to lead your family. Men, you're called to lead in the church. But you can't lead without your pliers. You can't lead without hanging on to God and holding on to God for dear life sometimes. For all that you know and all that you believe and all that you have. To hold on to His promises. Even when it seems like it's the darkest of the darkest of the midnight of the night. When the clouds are so thick, not even a starlight could come through. In the midst of those times, you need to hold on to God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. I put a different version. In all your ways, submit to Him. He will make your path straight. Then remember the end. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear God. Hang on to God. And what toolbox would be complete without a hammer? That hammer's great. I mean, come on. Rah. It's a hammer. It's a great thing. It's you can do anything with a hammer. You ever notice how much you can do with a hammer? You can build something up or you can tear something down. You can use it to smash a nail in. You can even use it to take a crooked nail out when you smashed it wrong. Ever try to hit the nail but hit your thumb instead? I wonder what comes out then. You can build, you can destroy. You can nudge, you can tap something into place. It's a hammer. It's great. It reminds us that we need to apply godly principles in every situation of our life. See, God's given you the hammer, man. It's not, you ready for this? It's not to hit your kids in the head with, or your spouse. So why do you have a hammer? What are you going to do with it? Well, God says, use the hammer like I would. How many of you have ever sinned against God? Don't put your hands up. But if we're all honest, we all should have our hands up. And did God take the hammer and smack us in the head and say, stupid? No. What does God do? He takes out his hammer and he begins to build us up. He doesn't tear us down. And man, God has given you a hammer to build up. To build up your spouse, to build up your kids, to build up your home, to build up your family, to build your church. He's given you a hammer to build. Now there are times, I'll be honest, there are times when you're going to have to discipline, godly discipline with the godly hammer. But that still doesn't destroy. You know, God said we need to discipline our children. So it's okay to discipline, but you're not going to smack them in the head with this. Right? Right? I don't hear everybody yet. Right? Okay, good. There are times, men, that you're going to take the hammer and you're going to need to just gently tap someone or something into alignment. Sometimes, are you ready? You're going to need to tap yourself into alignment with God's word, with God's character. It's a great tool. Used properly, it builds. Used irreverently, it will destroy. God's calling you to build a godly build with this hammer. Ecclesiastes 12:11 says this: the words of the wise prod us to live well. They're like nails hammered home, holding life together. They are given by God, the one shepherd. Hammer. Then you've got an adjustable wrench. If you don't know what an adjustable wrench is, it's got a fixed end and an adjustable end. Hence the word adjustable wrench. And you turn the thing, and so you can do a variety of jobs with this. You can grab something and maybe turn it that's really little, or you can grab something bigger and adjust to it. It's an adjustable wrench. It shows us that we need to be able to be adjustable and flexible to the situations that arise. Okay, man, let's be honest here. Sometimes it's so hard for us. I'm speaking about me. It's hard to be adjustable. Like, I'm right, just do what I say. But God says, godly men need to be adjustable and flexible. We need to learn to adjust to the situation, to be flexible to the things that are going on around us. To be aware so that God could gently turn us and put us in the position that is best used for the job that's at hand. We need to do that. And God says we're to live as an example of Him in every situation that we find ourselves in. Just so you're aware, guys, I don't say I've got this all down. If you ask my family, they'll tell you that sometimes I'm probably not flexible. See, because God's still working on me. I'm not perfect. I hope I didn't blow your bubble. Okay, I'm not perfect. God needs to keep adjusting me. Matthew puts it this way: if you had any idea what the scripture meant, I prefer a flexible heart to an inflexible ritual. You wouldn't be nitpicking like this. God expects us to be flexible. Because an inflexible ritual is of no use to the kingdom of God. Then there's a good old shop towel. What do you use a shop towel for? Well, you clean up spills, clean up messes. If you're really OCD, you always clean your tools before you put them away. You clean your hands, right? It's a shop towel. Got shop towels here. It reminds us that we need to be ready to clean up our own messes. Because guys, we don't like to clean up the mess. Right? Oh, yeah, we'll do that project. Yeah. Let's do that project. You know, and then your wife says, oh, thank you. Are you going to clean up? No. You can do that. Kids could do that. Hey, that's what I had kids for, right? To clean up the mess? No. We think that, but no, you know. It's probably our least favorite thing to do. Sometimes we make messes in our lives. And we think it's just easier to walk away from them than to clean them up. But as godly men, as godly women, we need to clean up our messes. Elton John, yes, don't get upset. Elton John wrote a song many, many moons ago. Sorry seems to be the hardest word. Were one of his lyrics. Isn't that true? Sorry seems to be the hardest word. And you know who it's the hardest to say you're sorry to? The people that you're supposed to love the most. Did you ever notice that? Man, isn't it hard to say to your spouse, I'm sorry? Okay, if you're on your honeymoon, it probably isn't yet, but you know. Because, you know, haven't done anything wrong yet. Come on, isn't it? Isn't it hard to tell your kid, you know, you were right and I was, you know. Right? Sometimes it's so hard. But man, we need to man up. We need to man up and deal with our messes. Because sometimes we made our own messes. And the way we start to clean up is we go to God first. So many times we want to go to God last. Because we think God's going to take this and hit us over the head with this hammer. But that's not the God that we know. He gently restores. And so how do you say sorry? You start by going to God and say, God, you know, the other day I yelled at my kid and I was just frustrated with everything else and I took it out on them. Nobody's ever done that. And then once you deal with God and you start cleaning up your mess, you know, you get a little hot. Then you go to your kid and say, you know, the other day when I yelled at you, it was really unnecessary. Or with your spouse, the ones you love the most. We need to be ready to clean up our own messes. We need to go to the people around us when there's a problem and deal with it. John said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. I have one more tool I want to share with you. And it's not really a tool. First, you're going to say, this isn't a tool. Well, maybe there's two more, but you know, the tool I want to draw your attention to is an extension cord. That's not a tool, no? You ever try to use a power tool in the middle of the backyard? Right? I grew up, we used to use one of these to cut the grass. Well, I mean the lawnmower, but it was plugged into this. My dad had a big lawn. And one of the first times I cut the grass, I found out that if you take the lawnmower and you roll over this with it, the lawnmower doesn't work anymore. True story. Oh, I blamed my neighbor. See, we deflect. We don't clean our own messes. I said, it's Stephen's fault because he said hi and I looked up and I waved at him. And for ages, my dad said, you know, when you cut the grass, swing the wire out of the way of the next row. And I guess I forgot. It was great because I didn't have to cut the grass the rest of the year. But it's an extension cord. It helps you reach the power when you don't think you're close enough. It allows you to just extend the work area. Well, you know what the extension cord reminds us of? It shows us that we need to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to plug into God. So you can't use any of these tools without the power. Can't use any of these tools without the being plugged in to who God is. Sometimes you might feel like an extension cord. You might feel stretched out as far as you can go. You might feel all knotted up. But the reality is, we need to learn to plug into the Holy Spirit. See, we lose our power to live for God if we're not plugged in. It's the reality. Here's how you can plug into God. You start by reading the Word. That's the Bible. Every day, read it. I'm not concerned how many pages you read. I'm more concerned, do you read any of the words? You could read one sentence. One sentence, one paragraph, one idea, one thought. Then you can pray. What's praying? It's talking to God. That's simple. God, I'm having a hard time with this. God, I know that I ticked my wife off. I need you to help me fix it. Talking to God is also listening to God. You know, when we just talk one way, you're doing most of this, where I'm doing the talking this morning and you're doing the listening. And so many times that's what we do with our prayer. Here, God, I got 10 minutes. Let me dump it on you. I'm off to work. I'm off to school. I'm off to that appointment. I'm off to this. We need to take time to have conversation. And sometimes God speaks to us through the Bible, and that's why you need to read it and talk to God. And then regular worship. Not just what we do here Sunday morning for about 30 minutes, but regular worship. Put music on in your car or in your home. Sing a song that God puts in your heart. Rehearse it, meaning just go over it, sing it. Ready for the tough one? Those weren't tough? No. Tough one is attend church regularly. What's regular? Well, you decide, but once a year is not regularly. Regularly. More than not. How's that? Anything that's more than 50% is not less than 50%. Attend church regularly. Build healthy Christian relationships. That's why attending church is important, because you have healthy Christian relationships. Because we need each other. We need each other to grow. We need each other to worship sometimes. It's great to worship by yourself. It's needed, but it's also needed to worship with others. It's not one or, it's both and. Worship together. Get into a small group. That's why we talk about small groups so much here. Because they're the key. They're the key to growing in God. Build healthy Christian relationships. Jesus said this in Luke 24, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. He promised the Holy Spirit. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. These are the tools that God has given us. He wants us to use these tools. So as we use them, we can become godly men. Because God is looking for godly men in this world. But you know, the tools are kind of useless if they're just sitting around. You know, if you keep tools in a toolbox, but you never open the toolbox. If you have a beautiful bench in your garage, you've got a pegboard and all your tools are, you know, perfectly laid out there. They're great, but they're useless in a box and they're useless on a wall. You need to use the tools that God has given you. See, God also gave you an instruction manual. The instruction manual is the Bible. See, if you're going to want to know how to use each of these tools properly, you find the instructions and the proper use of them and the places to use them and the times to use them. You find that in the Bible. This is our instruction manual. It's the most important tool you have, because when you have this tool working properly, it helps you to use all the other tools properly. The Bible, the instruction manual, shows you how to live as a godly man. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, that's the Bible. So all the Bible is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. See, the Bible shows you what's wrong, but it shows you what's right. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox today? Of these tools that we've talked about this morning, and I'm sure if we had a few more hours, we can find application for many more. But these are our essential tools this morning. What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox this morning? I want to go over them again for you. The square keeps you living in right relationship with God. Tape measure reminds us that we need to continually measure our life. Make sure we line up to what God says we should. There's the level. Tells us that we are called to live a level life. Living a level life also means that your life lives as a testimony of who God is. Then there's the pliers. Hold on to God. No matter what comes in your life, are you willing to hold on to God and trust God no matter what? There's the hammer. You have to apply the godly principles in your life in the right way, in the right manner, with the right touch, at the right time. The hammer. There's the adjustable wrench. Oh, it's so hard. We gotta let God adjust us. We need to be flexible to what God says. Shop towels. Clean up your mess, men. We need to clean up our messes. It starts with God, but we need to clean up our messes. And the extension cord. We need to plug into the power of God. We need to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on God's power, not our own. Because our own strength and our own thinking and our own thoughts will lead us into trouble. But if we put our thoughts on God's thoughts, He will lead us to be godly men and godly women. Would you stand with me this morning? What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox today? Just close your eyes for a moment. Just want to cut down the distractions. And I'm asking you that question. Men, women, young people, I'm asking all of you the same thing. What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox today? The square, the tape measure, the level, the pliers, the hammer, the adjustable wrench, the shop towels, the extension cord. What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox? What is Holy Spirit? Man, plug in, listen. What tool has Holy Spirit been shining in your life this morning? As I held it up or talked about it, and something inside of you just went, oop. Something inside of you said, huh, that's good for somebody else. I'm not going to bother with that. What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox? What tool do you need to start working on? What tool do you need to maybe go out and get? Maybe you need to go get a plier, because when things happen, you run every direction, but you don't hold on to God. Maybe you need a square. You need to straighten up your relationship with God before you can straighten up all your other relationships. What tool right now does the Holy Spirit say, this is the tool I need you to work on, to go out and possess, to put in your toolbox and use it? Maybe some of you have never read the instruction manual. The Bible. That's the place to start. It's the foundation of all tools. Let's pray. Father, this morning we just come before you. And we thank you again that we can celebrate dads, but more than that, you're looking for godly men. So church, as I read this list of tools out with all your eyes closed, and mine too, I'm not looking around because it doesn't matter to me. As I mention these tools one more time, and I'm going to pause. If that's you, I just want you to respond to God. How many of you need to work on a square? Get your relationship with God right. How many of you need a tape measure? Or you need to start measuring your life, your priorities, your time spent. How many of you need to work on a level that you're not really portraying the character of God in your life? How many of you need the pliers so you can hold on to God even when life doesn't make sense? How many of you have been using the hammer wrong? I could use it to beat, but it's really to build. It's not to destroy, it's to build. How many of you have been using it too hard? You need to learn maybe how to gently tap some things around. How many of you need to work on an adjustable wrench where you let God adjust you so you could be flexible to what God says? How many of you need shop towels? How many of you prefer to walk away from your messes rather than deal with them? How many of you need an extension cord because you've been doing it on your own? You've been trying in your own strength, in your own power. You haven't plugged into the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's saying, hey, I make it so easy for you. Just plug into me. I'll give you all the strength you need. How many of you need to read the instruction manual again? What tool or tools are missing from your toolbox? Father, we thank you today for the men of this church and for all the dads that are here. Lord, we thank you for the lesson that you have for us from these tools. But more than that, God, we need you. We need you in our hearts and in our soul and in our spirit. We need to walk in your ways and not our ways. We need to have your thoughts and not our thoughts. We need to have your character and not the world's character. Lord, help us to pick up the right tools. Help us to use them properly. Help us to put in our toolbox this morning the tool that's been missing in our lives so that we can give you glory and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.